It was about 9 months ago, right in the middle of August, as we began what we consider to be our formal ministry year here at Lincoln Berean Church, that we as a church attempted to do our best to look into the future at the year that was to come, the end of 2025 and then into 2026. As we did that, we framed that year that we were going to walk through around this word. We said it needed to be a year in which we would be very intentional. Intentional. And we gave out these atlases that were an attempt to help you be intentional as you walk through the year. We believe that word, intentional, captures so much of what we're called to as Christians. We're called to intentionally seek after Jesus Christ. We know, of course, that we are saved by grace through faith. We know that our growth is the product of God's grace. As we cling to Him in faith, He gives us His Spirit that brings about transformation of us into Christ-likeness. That's God's work. But grace doesn't do away with the idea of intentionality. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's because of God's grace that we're able to be intentional in the Christian life. Apart from Him, apart from His grace, we're stuck in sin. We have no choice but to just be there. But because of His grace, He's now brought us into a new life. And so much of that newness of life is marked by this word, intentional. Over the course of this morning, it's going to be a little different than our typical weekly service. So if you're visiting, normally what we're going to do is we're going to open up God's word, we're going to dig into it. But every once in a while, we find it to be helpful to zoom out and talk a little bit about where we are and where we're going and what God is doing in our midst. And this morning is one of those mornings. Here, 9 months after we launched the ministry year, we wanted to take a moment and give a three-quarters of the year check-in, so to speak. Here we are, 9 months later. And so what has happened and how do we live intentionally in the months that are to come? So over the next few minutes, my hope is that we can tell you about some intentional steps that we've taken as a staff, experiments we've reached out with and things that we've done to help people grow up in Christ. And we also want to tell you some stories about what that's resulted in. But throughout the whole morning, my hope is that you also will join us in considering whether or not this past year has been one that's been marked by an intentional seeking of Jesus Christ in your life. If it is, then we want to say, just keep it up. Keep it up. Keep pursuing. But if you might say, I don't know, maybe I've been sleepwalking through the year, then we don't want you to feel bad about that, but we do want to encourage you to embrace an intentional posture here in these days and weeks and months to come. As we launched in August, we framed this idea with Paul's words in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 1 to 4, Paul says this. He says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Paul states what is true of us in Christ. We talked about this throughout our series in Romans. Because we have placed our faith in Christ, we have joined Him in His death, and we also now join Him in His life. Therefore, Paul says, if you have been raised up with Christ, that sets us free to live a brand new life marked by intentional seeking of God. And so Paul says, keep seeking. Keep seeking the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. I hope you can just hear the intentional language, the intentional life that Paul is calling us to, just oozing out of that passage. Keep seeking. Pursue with intentionality. Set your mind, decide to have your mind be set on the things of God. Don't think any longer upon the things that are on the earth. Set your mind on things that are above. So much of the Christian life can be summed up in that word, intentional. It's an intentional seeking that we've been set free to now live in. Because of that, we thought that was a great word to use as a challenge for all of us. All of us as we together seek Christ in the year that was to come. Now there's another reason that we thought this word, intentional, was so important for us as a church, and it's because of what we knew we had on the horizon throughout the end of 2025 and into 2026. Now we're 3.5 months past a very major transition for us as a church. And as we looked ahead to that transition, we knew this would have to be a transition that we walked through with great intentionality. 3.5 months ago, it was the end of Brian's tenure as a senior pastor at this church. And as we approached that moment, there were three goals that we had. The first thing we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure that as a church, our focus remained on God and God alone. You know, Jesus has always been the leader of this church, and we wanted to make sure that was clear as we move forward. Wanted to be intentional about that. Second thing we wanted to do is we wanted to do our best as a staff, as elders, pastors. We wanted to shepherd the body through a moment that was very significant. It only happened once in our history. We knew that it'd be a moment full of celebration, yes, but also a moment full of mourning and a moment that would be marked by grief. And that's natural and that's good. When you love someone, when someone's been so good to you, you grieve. So we wanted to shepherd the body through that so it wouldn't feel like whiplash for us. The final thing we wanted to do is we wanted to honor Brian. We wanted to celebrate who he was and his faithful years of service. So now as we look back on that, 3.5 months ago, I am so grateful for the way that God led us through that moment. It was a moment that we had to be intentional about, had to walk through with purpose. Of course, this call to intentionality, this purposeful moving forward didn't end though on February 1st when Brian preached his last sermon. How do you turn the page from someone like Brian? That was a question that weighed heavily on me throughout the fall of 2025 into 2026. How do you move on from what clearly is a world-class teacher? That's a big question. So as we prayed about that, as we thought about that, I believe the Lord put a passage of scripture on my heart that really was helpful as we were considering how to move forward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said this to the church in Corinth. He said, "For I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul is essentially saying, I determined my ministry, what I did among you, would not be about me. It would be solely about Jesus Christ and about the gospel. That would be where the focus was. And as I considered that, and as we talked about that as a team, and as we talked about that as elders, resonated with us. And so that led us to the decision that the first week after Brian was gone, the place that we need to go is to the heart of the gospel. And so for the past 15 weeks, we have dug in to the book of Romans, looking at the fullness, the richness, the glory, and the depth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that saves, the gospel that helps us grow up into Christ-likeness. We are looking forward that next week, as we turn to our summer series, we're going to have the chance to be intentional about growing together in our life of prayer. Next week, we're going to kick off a series on the Lord's Prayer. And just as we did with Psalm 23 last summer, where we walked through reflectively, slowly, really trying to soak up the words, we're going to do the same thing this summer with the Lord's Prayer in a series that we're calling The Shape of Prayer. the shape of prayer and our hope, our prayer, is that as we walk through this series, the Lord will shape us into deeper people of prayer. That we become people who are marked by our reaching out to Him, depending upon Him for everything, that we would grow, that by the time we got to August, we would look and we'd say, my communion with the Lord in prayer is deeper, is richer than it was before. That's our prayer. Now, over the course of the rest of the morning, I am excited to have different members of our staff, a few different members of our leadership team, join us on stage and talk to you about some of the experiments that we've branched out on over the past year and a few things that are yet to come. But before we do that, there are two questions that I've been asked a number of times that I thought it would be good to address. Now that we've moved through that critical moment of transition and some history, a few weeks, months are under our belt. Ever since I joined this staff in 2007, a key element of what it is to be Lincoln Berean Church has been that we are a church that values team leadership. This church has never been led by an isolated individual that holds all the power and makes all the decisions. That's not the way Brian operated. That is not the way we operate now. And that will never be the way we operate because we value and we believe that the Bible is right about what it says. And the Bible calls churches to be led by a plurality of leaders. That's something that we have embraced and we will continue to embrace. As people have asked me, how it's going, how's it going, how's the transition going? My answer always is, I am so grateful for the team that God has given us. And I am so grateful for the leadership team with whom I meet each week. And we together are trying to execute the vision that God has called us to. Now, I know so many of members of that leadership team are people that you might not be familiar with. And so because of that, I wanted to put their picture up so you'd be familiar with them. These are people who fear God, who are committed to this church and are committed to helping us as a church move forward as we lead out. And you're going to hear from three of them this morning. Now, it's not only them. This church is also a church that is an elder-led church, Our elder board is made up of a team of staff elders combined with lay elders. And I know the lay elders also aren't exactly really visible. And so I wanted you to see their faces as well. And I am quite confident that they would love nothing more than if you see them, if you would grab them and you'd say, hey, I want to talk to you about what it means to be an elder. They would just love that. They wouldn't love it, but that'd be something you absolutely should do. It's important that you know your elders. Bible calls churches to be led by overseers, elders, and it's this combination of lay elders and staff elders that are committed to ensuring that we as a church are aligned with Scripture and are moving forward faithfully according to the way that God has called us, tied to who we have been, and also believing that God has great things for us in the future. Now, there's one more question that I've received very often, almost weekly. And it's somewhat related to team leadership, but slightly different. It's about this idea, this value of team teaching. Now, one of the great pleasures, great privileges I have had over the past 2 years was to walk in tandem with Brian and teach in a team environment where Brian took about 50% of the teaching and I took about 50% of the teaching. That was a joy for me. It was a great privilege. Our plan was that by the time Brian chose to end his tenure on our staff, we would have a team already in place that, in fact, would be sharing in that teaching load. That was our plan. My favorite quote is that reality is what you run into when you're wrong. And that's not the way things worked out. And so, just want to talk about how we're moving forward. It should already be fairly obvious by the way that we walk through Romans, but the plan is for me, rather than to carry 50% of the teaching load, I'm going to step in and carry 75% of the teaching load, and then the other 25% will be will be carried forward by friends of ours, but also members of our staff who have a gift for teaching, a passion for God's word. They are excited and passionate about helping God's people grow in his word. And so that's the way that we're going to continue to move forward. But I also want to ask you to join us in praying, because we have not abandoned this value of team teaching. I really am passionate about it. So we would ask that you would join us in praying that the Lord would raise up either from within our body, or he would bring people to us that we just feel would be great fits for us, and they could join us or be staff members raised up into that position to be part of our regular teaching team. It's a value we have. It's just not where we're at right now. And so we just ask you to be praying about that. Now, if you remember August, I warned some of you that if you have an affinity, if you have a love for some of the carpet bubbles, then you need to be ready, because this might be a year where we say goodbye to the old dirty carpet with carpet bubbles everywhere. And that's where we're going to start. We want to give you an update on what's happening with things like carpet and the rest of our facility. And so I'm going to invite Kevin Workman and Liv up onto our stage. Kevin is our pastor of operations. Liv is our director of facilities. And they're going to give you an update on our facility refresh. So welcome them.
Thanks, Ryan. Well, Liv and I are privileged to serve and lead our facility operations team, which is a great group of people. And we are going to talk about carpet, but a lot more than that. So Liv is the lead point person for this facility refresh project that we're on the cusp of launching, and she's going to share some more details about that in a second. But we take very seriously the intentional stewardship of these physical resources that God has entrusted to us. Because as we steward those resources, it enables us to do spiritual ministry, to fulfill our vision of coming together to know Jesus, to become more like him, and help others do the same. And through the breadth of the ministries that often take place in these facilities and beyond, that enables each of us to take the next steps of growth and multiplication in our individual discipleship journeys. And so we're really excited to share some updates with you today. Liv and the project team have been working hard with our trusted architectural and construction companies to scope out both the breadth of this first phase of project refresh as well as the cost. And we're excited to be able to launch that soon. And so I'm going to hand it over to Liv at this point, and she's going to share some of those details.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about carpet and the carpet bubbles. And while we are replacing all of that, we're also doing a lot more. So it's a pretty big project, and we are planning to kick it off. It's June 22nd, which is the Monday immediately following VBS week. And if you know VBS, you know that it's chaos. It's fun chaos, but it's chaos. And so we thought, why stop at a week? Let's just continue six more months of chaos. So we are going to be starting right after that. And the project is broken up into six different phases, and those phases will take us through January of 2027. So we're going to be replacing carpet in large sections of the building, but we're also going to be updating paint, adding new finishes, furniture, things like that, just trying to create a more cohesive, updated, fresh feel for the facility. And if you're curious, our current paint and carpet have served us very faithfully, anywhere from 19 years to 30 years. So it is due for some upgrades. And there are some key areas of impact in this. So I'll kind of just jump through those. One of them is the north entry. So north entry, the kids check in all the way through the chapel foyer, and they're going to get some layout and functional improvements to help kids check in on weekends, be a little bit more smoother, easier, things like that. A total remodel of the nursery, which will give us a little taste into possibilities for kids updates in the future. Significant work on all three levels of D-Wing. So D-Wing is what we call our classroom wing. So if you've taken a class here, you've been in D-Wing. So D203 is a room that gets used a lot, or the old coffee house people call it. And the college room is also included in that. And then refreshes to E-Wing. So we are in E-Wing right now. So the auditorium, the foyers, all of that, including the commons, the info centers, the the spotlight booth, the coffee station, all of that. So those four bullet points sum it up well, but it is a lot of square footage in those summed up areas. One of our construction partners joked with me that, man, no matter where you turn, you're bumping into more like construction, which is so true. So a project of this size will cause some disruptions to things. So it'll cause some changes to the rooms that you normally meet in for classes or for events, for scheduling, all of that. So we will do our best to try to keep everybody updated and informed so that you can plan accordingly. On the screen, you will see a QR code with a link. Our wonderful comms team put together a dedicated webpage just for this project. So if you scan that, it'll take you to more information on the project, but also you'll find all of our updates, current information, things to expect as you come to church or to classes, and all of that. So it's a good thing to bookmark or keep handy as we step through this project. You'll be hearing more of this too. But yeah, we wanted to make that available for you guys.
Thanks, Liv. It just occurred to me that the carpet's held up better than I have over the same period of time. So maybe I'm due for a refresh. Be praying for Liv and the project team as we work through this. A lot of moving pieces. I'd like to take just a couple of moments and talk about the funding of this project. So you heard about the scope of it, the magnitude. So we're estimating the total cost for this first project refresh to be about $2.6 million. Now, that seems like a large amount, but there's a lot of carpet and a lot of paint. And some of you may already be familiar with the Purpose Fund. Now, the Purpose Fund was created during the Decade on Purpose, and one of the aims of the Decade on Purpose was to retire debt that the church had been servicing. And that Decade on Purpose was very successful. Debt was retired, and since the end of that time, we have not, as a church, we've been blessed to be able to operate without having to service any debt. But that Purpose Fund has continued to grow because of God's provision through your generosity. And I'm really thrilled to announce today that that fund has a balance of about $1.7 million in it. That's incredible as we go into this phase of facility refresh, leaving less than $1 million to fully fund this project before its completion in January of 2027. So wouldn't it be wonderful that if we could together be intentional and in addition to our normal giving to the general fund, give to the Purpose Fund, and there's ways that you can do that through the dedicated web page that we talked about. There's a link so you can give online. You can designate your check. You can designate your giving envelope. And we think that it would be really awesome to be able to end this project with no bills unpaid and with money in the Purpose Fund for future projects, because the facilities are going to need more work. There's a lot of areas that we haven't even touched yet. So speaking of the general fund, a couple of things. If God's leading you or you're contemplating giving toward the Purpose Fund, please don't redirect current giving that you from the general fund. That really doesn't help in the long term. And then also speaking of the general fund, for those of you who have been here, you know that we're approaching the end of our fiscal year. And we don't have a normal cadence of in June, the business team works together with the elders, and we make known to you our end of fiscal year giving goal. So that's coming up in the next few weeks in June. We'll talk about that. That's the amount of money we need in the general fund for the months of June and July to end the general fund in the black. So thank you for your prayerful consideration of how you can intentionally be a part of this project and the ongoing work of Lincoln Berean.
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate what Kevin said too. We've been planning this project for months, but honestly, years. And it's important to me and to us that we are being led by God in this, that we're acting within His will, that we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we're being led by Him. So we just really invite you to be praying with us and for us. So thank you in advance for your prayers, for being patient with us in this process, and just being in it with us. We're really excited for it. We're excited for no more carpet bubbles and replacing this carpet, but we're also just really excited to see what God does with this and how creating a space that's more inviting for community and for ministry just furthers His kingdom and His will. So thank you.
All right. Well, it's Please welcome Sean, who was our director of the residency and staff development, who's going to give us updates on the residency and our current graduates. Give him a round of applause.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. As Kevin said, joining me on stage is Skylar and Brooklyn Schwaniger. I'm excited to announce that they are our most recent graduates of the ministry residency. You got some shout-outs over there on that section. Included with them completing the program, they have also earned a master's degree in applied theology from Midwestern Baptist University, which is awesome. Now, in case you didn't know, Brooklyn and Skylar, they are married. And I'm happy to say that after spending 22 months together going through the ministry residency every single day, they still like each other. And so that's a huge win for us. Now, I wanted to bring them on stage because I want you to hear their experience in the ministry residency. So, Skylar, I'll start with you. For maybe some people who don't know about the ministry residency, how would you describe the program?
Yeah, so the goal of the residency is to equip and launch kingdom leaders. So over 22 months, residents get to work here at the church, as well as doing seminary online. So it's really fun. We get to be involved in different ministry areas. So some of the ones we were involved in, kids, youth, college, and outreach. So just getting a broad understanding of what it looks like to work in ministry, as well as just getting an understanding of and some guidance on spiritual development and leadership development through weekly modules, and then meeting with a mentor as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the ministry residency, it's one of the ways here at Lincoln Berean that we're trying to be intentional in raising up the next generation of ministry leaders, regardless of where God calls them to after the residency, whether that's church ministry, missions, or the workplace becomes their ministry. Sometimes the Bible calls that the marketplace. Now, Skylar, how has the Lord used the ministry residency to help just prepare you for ministry leadership?
Yeah, I'd say a big one is just confidence in who God has made me to be. So part of that's noticing I don't need to be someone I'm not, but what are the strengths and passions that the Lord has given me, and how can I faithfully steward those and humbly lead and serve others?
Yeah, it's been really fun for me to see Skylar recognize that the leadership style that God has wired him with is really a shepherd or pastor's heart. And so for him to recognize that, as he said, be confident in that, and then walk in that as well. How about you, Brooklyn? How has the Lord used the ministry residency to better prepare you as a leader?
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's given me opportunities to discover my giftings, the ways that God has gifted me and wired me, and then have opportunities to practice that in an environment that's very safe. So that's been a huge one. But then also, I think I've just learned a ton about the Holy Spirit. What does it look like to be aware of the Holy Spirit in my life, but then also to depend upon Him? So I've had opportunities to practice that in the different ministry areas I've been in and people that I've interacted with. So that's been really encouraging, and I've loved to see how God has used that to grow me more into His likeness. But we also just wanted to take a moment, Skylar and I, just to thank you guys as the people of Lincoln Berean Church. Thank you just for supporting us and encouraging us along the journey. Many of you in this room have spoke encouraging words to us as we've tried things that are uncomfortable or scary, and just tried to step into new things. So thank you guys for your support of us, but also just the residency as a whole. We're excited to see how the Lord continues to use it.
If you know Brooklyn, she's one of the most intentional people that you will ever meet. And it's been really fun seeing her, as she was talking about, be led by the Holy Spirit, seek His guidance when it comes to serving people and investing in them. You know, Skylar and Brooklyn, I hope you know, I'm so proud of you. The ministry residency is a tough 22 months, and you have faithfully walked through this journey of the program. And on behalf of myself, our staff, our congregation, we're so excited to see how the Lord is going to continue to use you in the future. So we are so excited about that. If you would like to tell Skylar and Brooklyn congratulations after this service in room D203, so our 200 level, we're going to have a reception. Come by, get some cake, and you can also encourage them as well. And then lastly, just to kind of let you know where we're headed as the Ministry Residency, it's bittersweet to see Skylar and Brooklyn go, but we are very excited that we have six in our year one class who will be making the transition into their second year. And then we have three that will be coming on in our brand new class in August. And so we're really excited to be able to welcome them. So with that, next, we're going to hear from youth ministry, how they're being intentional when it comes to providing some opportunities for youth to grow deeper in their faith. So I'm going to bring up Tyler, Aiden, and Kara. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you, Sean. Well, good morning, y'all. As Sean said, my name is Tyler Sheets, and I get the amazing privilege and honor to get to hang out in the various next-gen environments here at LBC. But this morning, we're going to highlight something really cool, an intentional experiment that we have tried in youth ministry by launching a couple different discipleship environments. So the first one being the Orchard, which is our high school environment for discipleship, and the Greenhouse, which is for our middle school. So I have Aiden up here to talk a little bit about that. So Aiden, what is the Greenhouse and why do we do it?
Yeah, so 2.5 years ago, the youth team was really praying about how we could continue to invest in youth students. And we started looking at Wednesday nights. For those who don't know, we have a few environments for youth students to be part of throughout the week. And one of them is Wednesday night called Student Ministry Night. And it is a hoot. There are 350 plus students, 60 plus volunteers. It's teaching based, small group driven, and it's awesome. And because it has a great reputation, we have students from all over spiritually who show up to it. So we have students who are, you know, all in on Jesus. They've been following him for a while. They love him. They're walking with him every day. Then you have students who are on the opposite end who maybe have never heard of Jesus or aren't sure how they feel about Jesus and are trying to make sense of it, but they're drawn to what we're doing, and the students all in between. And we love that. We love that every single week, sorry, awkward cough, every single week, 350 students, no matter where they're at, get to show up and hear the gospel, those who don't know the gospel at all and don't know about Jesus and those who love God. But the question kind of became, what do we do with the students who are over here, who are the ones who say, I love Wednesday night. I'm growing every single week. I'm learning from the teaching. I'm enjoying my small group time, and I want more. I want to keep growing. And that's where Greenhouse came about. So the Greenhouse, like Tyler mentioned, it's a monthly environment where middle schoolers are to show up, and it's more hands-on. So Wednesday night is teaching-based. This is more, we teach a new topic every week, and it's very hands-on. So for example, we taught missions and evangelism last month. And rather than just teaching them it and hope that it applies to them, we kind of send them off to work on it on their own. They're in their own cohorts and with their mentor. So they'll be given some worksheets that says, what does the Bible say about missions and evangelism? And they'll go out there and they'll study it, talk about it with friends. But we also don't want the Greenhouse just to be a place for them to grow in head knowledge, but actually lead them to take steps in their faith with Jesus. So there's a lot of time, there's an emphasis on the students having space to reflect, like for missions. Where is God inviting me to share the gospel? Who is God inviting me to invite to church? Things like that. So it's been cool to see students potentially take next steps by having that more intentional hands-on experience in the Greenhouse.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Aiden. So the cool thing about the Orchard and the Greenhouse is that the students commit to come to those once a month environment meetings where we're all together. But then outside of that, our high school, they're with a one-on-one with a mentor, and they meet once outside that main environment. And we do different things, like there was a day of solitude, they practice 1 month, maybe a day of fasting. And so with their mentor, they get a process, how that went, ask questions, all that different type of things. And then in the Greenhouse, the mentors, they break into cohorts, and then they actually meet and go through the content together while at the Greenhouse environment. So I have Miss Kara up here, who is an eighth grader. Well, not anymore. You just are done with Lux. Lightning, anyone else go Lightning? Nobody. Just you, Kara. Yeah, woo. And then we'll be a freshman at East next year, and their graduation is like in 30 minutes, so there might not be anyone. But go Sparts? Yes, there's a few. Awesome. So, Kara, you are a student that is plugged into a lot of different things. There's a lot of different things that you could plug into. Why did you prioritize the Greenhouse?
Yeah, so last spring they offered a pilot program for the greenhouse, and at the time I was really involved in youth group and Activate every week, but when they asked me to be a part of the pilot program, I really jumped at the chance to get involved in another way. And then this fall it came around and they were opening it up to everyone, and I decided I really wanted to join again. Like Aiden said, it's more about your personal journey and where you're at and applying the things that we learn directly into your life, which is super helpful, and I decided to make it a priority for that.
Awesome. Our youth ministry prioritizing helping students take their next steps in their relationship with Jesus so they become more like him and love those around them the way he does. So what is one thing, or like one next step that you have taken over this last year after being a part of the Greenhouse?
Yeah, so one of the lessons that we did at Greenhouse was about reading our Bible and getting the most out of it and reading at a deeper level. So this year I've committed to reading the whole New Testament on my own, and I can use the strategies that I learned at Greenhouse and apply those when I'm reading it to make sure that I'm understanding it at a deeper level and really getting the most out of it.
Awesome. Thanks, Kara. So yeah, we just appreciate your prayers as we launch. We're going to do another year coming up here in the fall, launching the Greenhouse and the Orchard again, praying for the students, praying for the mentors. It is really a rich time. So with that, I'm going to invite members from our adult ministry team, Matt and Shireen, and they're going to talk about some intentional experiments that we did this last year in adult ministry.
Thanks, Tyler. It is great always to hear what's going on in the next generation. So excited for what's going on down there. But we're also excited about what's going on in adult ministries. And about 6 months ago, 9 months ago, back in September, we launched this 8-month intensive for leaders, and with the goal of evaluating us on character and competency in order to grow in our leadership skills. So it centered on this idea that a seasoned guide who had walked a leadership journey or a leadership path on their own was probably best able to help other people navigate the ups and downs of what it means to become more like Jesus in their context. So intentionality was really important for this because we packed a lot of life work, we called it, into those 8 months together in order that at the end, each participant would be able to say that they were loved, equipped, affirmed, and deployed to grow and multiply disciples in their context. So Matt, tell us a little bit about what that looked like.
So we started with the idea that comes out of Romans 12, 1 and 2, that tells us that you're transformed. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds, but it also mentions in that verse that we need to offer our bodies. So we knew that this needed to be more than just a download of more content or technique and things like that. It needed to be about relationships that we centered ourselves on with one another that would challenge our view of God, that would help us grow deeper in our pursuit of Jesus and to do it together. And so we divided the content evenly between teaching and exercises or practices and through discussion. And each month we would gather together, kind of the first Friday of the month most of the time, all 65 of us in one room, and we would have about a 3-hour discussion and teaching, and we'd eat dinner together, and I will tell you, the energy in that room was way better than we had hoped. Like, we also had, there was throughout the month some teaching that kind of came out on video, and people said, oh, that's great, but we really like it when we're together. So we're planning on continuing that as part of it this next year. But after that discussion was over, we would then, there was an assignment. Everybody had to go away and do an exercise, whether that was an exercise of looking for someone to share their faith with or an exercise of just looking for someone to listen to and practice some listening skills, go away and look at some things about your pathway and spiritual pathway of relating to God, a lot of different things, multiple exercises every month. When they were done processing that, they then would sit down with their guide. Right? So they had mentors. We had guides. Shireen mentioned it was kind of this seasoned guide who walked along a path. We had this whole kind of hiking analogy throughout it. But they would sit down and reflect on their experience, have a conversation, seek to grow, seek to process what God was teaching them. And so over the course of 8 months, we processed together 13 what we called true north statements about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And it's not so much about mastering a set of skills as it is committing to center ourselves on Jesus and his ways and seek to become people that have the mindset of a disciple maker. So that's a little bit of what it looked like.
Yeah, and scripture tells us that everyone who is a follower of Jesus is a disciple, but sometimes we don't act like that. Maybe it's because we've never had the opportunity to follow someone who's following Jesus, and maybe we've just never learned how. So we've invited Josiah and Haley up here today, and they were participants in the LEAD program, and they are a married couple, but they each had a different guide that led them through. So we'll start with you, Josiah. How did LEAD help you grow as a disciple?
I would say we spent the first 2 months, really, of LEAD training just talking about how to be loved by God and how to love God back. And it was really a cool realization for me to figure out that there are a lot more ways to experience God's love than just the individual prayer or the corporate worship that are often the main ways that we experience God's love. So I learned that I really experience God's love through serving. That was a really cool realization for me. So that, on top of the fact that we had a weekly and monthly cadence with that guide, that I got to just kind of debrief what I was actually learning and how I was experiencing God in that month. That rhythm was really helpful for me to grow spiritually this past year.
Great. Okay, Haley, how about you? How did this help you when you approach other people? What did that change?
Yeah, I think I've become a lot better listener. There was one session that we did on listening, and we learned that it is hard to identify or perceive the difference between being loved and being listened to. And so we highlighted the importance then of learning how to actually listen to someone and the practicals of that. And so it's been fun to grow in that. I think I used to go into situations with people one-on-one and feel this pressure to say the right thing and like fix them or help them. And now it's been fun to walk in with the Holy Spirit and be like, okay, Holy Spirit, what question should I ask next? What do they need to talk about so that they feel loved? So that's been a really fun thing to take into my life. So it's students, husband, all the things.
Thanks, guys.
So we are going to do LEAD training again starting in September. There are limited spots available. And there is an application process involved, but if you would like to know more information, you can send an email to lead@lincolnberean.org, and that'll get to Shireen and I, and we'd be happy to chat with you some more about how that process would work. And then I'm excited to invite Ben Miller up. He's going to lead us in participating in the Lord's Supper together.
Thanks, you all. Good morning. My name is Ben. I'm one of the care pastors on staff. We do want to spend some time this morning participating in communion together. You know, as I reflect on all these things that have happened over the last several months, the things that we're excited about into the future, I can't help but be thankful for the faithfulness of Jesus. I don't think any of them happen without his faithfulness. Whether it's a building refresh that's spurred on by the generosity of the church, or ministry residents who have committed 2 years of their life to learning about the truth and wisdom of who Jesus is, and then taking that into the context for whatever God has next. Whether it's a middle school student or an adult who are taking seriously their identity in Christ and learning to live a life of discipleship, these things happen because of the faithfulness of Jesus. As Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room on the night that he was to be betrayed, he reminded them of several things. He told them about their living in an upside-down kingdom where people would look to serve rather than to be served. He reminded them that the world would know them by their love for one another, and he encouraged them, love others as I have loved you. And he said, I'm not going to have you do this on your own. I'm going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, leading you, guiding you, directing you. And these weren't just empty things that Jesus said. This was the way he lived his life. In just a few short hours, he would be in the garden, and there he would be betrayed and arrested. The next day, he would stand in front of the courts, and there he would be falsely accused and condemned, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God sent to the cross. And what Satan thought was sure victory was anything but that, because God, in his power, raised Jesus from the dead 3 days later. And he conquered death, and because of that resurrection, a sinful people can be reunited, reconciled to a holy God. And that is what we celebrate together in communion. We come together to remember what Jesus has done on our behalf. So I'm going to invite the ushers to come down. We're going to pass out the elements. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we encourage you to participate along with us. If you haven't made that decision yet to follow Jesus, maybe you still have questions, I encourage you, just pass the tray on by. There's no problem with that. But I want to encourage you not to linger in those questions. I think Jesus wants to meet you there. He has answers to those questions. He wants you to get curious. Maybe there's past hurts or hang-ups, but Jesus wants to meet you. He's ready and available.